Dr. Balaga here. This podcast belongs to a series of 10 podcasts on obesity. It's derived from an outstanding chapter on obesity in Balaga's textbook of internal medicine, available at www.mastermedfacts.com. After completing these 10 podcasts, you should be having a solid foundation in obesity. As you know, obesity is in 1/3 of US adults and is therefore an important area to have at one's fingertips. This outstanding chapter is authored by Dr. David W. Lam, MD, who is Assistant Professor of Medicine at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai in New York. He's also the Associate Director of the Mount Sinai Diabetes Center. The senior author is Dr. Robert Yanagisawa, who is a Professor of Medicine at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai. He's the Program Director of Clinical Fellowship in Endocrinology, Diabetes, and Metabolism. He also directs the Mount Sinai Weight Management Program and has more than 15 years of experience taking care of obese patients. A 25-year-old patient with a past medical history of hypothyroidism, schizophrenia, and depression presents to your office for the first time. He currently takes bupropion, olanzapine, and levothyroxine. His TSH was checked 3 weeks ago and was in the normal range. On physical examination, you find that he's obese with a BMI of 35 with no evidence of Cushing's disease or hypothyroidism. What is the most appropriate recommendation? A. Discuss with the psychiatrist changing his bupropion to a tricyclic antidepressant which is less associated with weight gain. B. Discuss with his endocrinologist changing his levothyroxine to leothyronine. C. Discuss with his psychiatrist changing his olanzapine to an alternative antipsychotic medication which is less associated with weight gain. Or D. Discuss with his endocrinologist repeating a TSH and performing an overnight dexamethasone suppression test in evaluation for subclinical Cushing's disease. And the answer is C. That is, discuss with the psychiatrist changing his olanzapine to an alternative antipsychotic medication which is less associated with weight gain. Bupropion is sometimes associated with weight loss as opposed to weight gain, while tricyclic antidepressants are actually associated with weight gain. And this explains why option A is not the correct answer. There's no benefit with respect to weight in converting therapy for his hypothyroidism from levothyroxine to leothyronine. In addition, his TSH recently done was normal. Olanzapine and many other antipsychotic medications are associated with weight gain, and it would be appropriate to discuss with the psychiatrist the use of other agents such as aripiprazole, lurasidone, and ziprasidone, which are not strongly associated with weight gain. Since there's a clear component in his medical history that could impact his obesity, no clinical evidence of Cushing's disease, and a normal TSH, option D, is not indicated. There was a recent article in the New England Journal of Medicine titled "A Randomized Controlled Trial of Liraglutide for Adolescents and with Obesity." The lead author is Dr. Aaron Kelly, PhD, and there were several authors, and this was for the NN8022-4180 trial investigators. Since obesity is a chronic disease with limited treatment options in pediatric patients, the investigators looked at liraglutide, which may be useful for weight management in adolescents with obesity. There are approximately 107 million children and adolescents worldwide with obesity and with multiple coexisting conditions and complications. more than 70% of the persons who have obesity before puberty will have obesity in adults, underscoring the need for effective and durable interventions with adequate safety profiles early in life. Keeping this in mind, the investigators evaluated liraglutide, a glucagon-like peptide GLP-1 analog, which increases postprandial insulin level in a glucose-dependent manner. It also reduces glucagon secretion, delays gastric emptying, and induces weight loss through reductions in appetite and energy intake. Liraglutide 3 mg has been approved by the FDA as an adjunct to lifestyle therapy for weight management in adults with obesity or who are overweight, who have at least one weight-related coexisting condition. In a previous study that involved adults with obesity or overweight who had either hypertension or dyslipidemia, liraglutide 3 mg resulted in clinically meaningful weight loss and improvements in cardiometabolic markers and health-related quality of life. Therefore, these investigators evaluated the efficacy and safety of subcutaneous liraglutide 3 mg as an adjunct to lifestyle therapy for weight management in adolescents and obesity. They published their results in the May 28, 2020 New England Journal of Medicine. In this randomized double-blind trial, which consisted of 56-week treatment period and a 26-week follow-up period, where they enrolled adolescents 12 to less than 18 years of age with obesity and a poor response to lifestyle therapy alone, participants were randomly assigned 1:1 to receive either 3 mg liraglutide or placebo subcutaneously once daily, in addition to lifestyle therapy. The primary endpoint was a change from baseline in BMI at week 56. So they looked at not at BMI, but they looked at BMI standard deviation score at week 56. The results, a total of 125 participants were assigned to liraglutide group and 126 in the placebo group. They found that liraglutide was superior to placebo with regard to change from baseline at BMI standard deviation score at week 56. A reduction in BMI of at least 5% was associated in 51 of the 113 participants in the liraglutide group and in 20 of the 105 participants in the placebo group, and a reduction in BMI of at least 10% was observed in 33 and 9 respectively. A greater reduction was observed with liraglutide than placebo for BMI and for body weight. After discontinuation, a greater increase in the BMI standard deviation score was observed in the liraglutide group than with placebo. More participants in the liraglutide group than in the placebo group had GI adverse events, and adverse events led to discontinuation of trial treatment. Few participants in either group had serious adverse events. One suicide occurred in the liraglutide group and was assessed by the investigators as unlikely to be related to trial therapy. The investigators concluded in adolescents with obesity, the use of liraglutide 3 mg plus lifestyle therapy leads to a significantly greater reduction in BMI standard deviation score than placebo plus lifestyle therapy. The GI side effects in the liraglutide group was 64.8%, while in the placebo group was 36.5%. P-value was less than 0.001. This series of 10 podcasts on obesity is derived from an outstanding chapter in Baliga's Textbook of Medicine on obesity. The book is available at www.mastermedfacts.com. It's authored by Dr. David W. Lam, MD, and Dr. Robert Yanagisawa, MD, both faculty endocrinologists at the Mount Sinai School of Medicine in New York. That's the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai, New York. Dr. Lam is the Associate Program Director for Diabetes. And Dr. Yanasigawa is a Professor of Medicine and the Program Director of the Clinical Fellowship in Endocrinology, Diabetes and Metabolism. He also directs the Mount Sinai Weight Management Program and has more than 15 years of experience in taking care of obese patients.